Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. Today, we're going to reflect on the weekend's action as Skye Nicholson picked up her first world title, defeating Sarah Mahfouz to win the WBC featherweight title in Las Vegas. The champion proceeded to call out Amanda Serrano afterwards, but she could be made to wait for that fight. Reports are now suggesting that Serrano is set to take on Katie Taylor again, this time, though, in the Sphere in Las Vegas. We're going to get stuck into that and ask if Chantel Cameron has been hard done by as a result. We'll also be discussing who will be the next big superstar in British boxing, with so many household names coming towards the ends of their careers. Who is best placed now, though, to carry the torch for British boxing in the next decade? And we're going to talk a bit of MMA as well, ahead of UFC 300. It's the big one this weekend. All right, look, loads to go through as always. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Amanda's made it clear that anyone that fights her has to fight 12 three-minute rounds to get in the ring with her. How do you feel about that?
I find it funny that she waited till I was her mandatory to decide that's what she wanted to do. But look, I respect the WBC's rules. That's why I'm still boxing for the WBC belt. But if the only way to fight Amanda Serrano is over 12 three-minute rounds, talk to my team, we'll make it happen.
And the referee, what a shot! Doesn't even continue the count. That was a savage shot from Dalton Smith.
And the new unified British and Commonwealth super lightweight champion, Dalton Thunder Smith.
Yo, she won't be fighting Chantel next. There's a good chance she could fight Serrano next. We have open dialogue with their team, and we'll see how they progress.
Gareth A. Davis, how are you, sir? Go on, give me the lowdown. What's Gareth been up to?
I had a fantastic chat with Daniel Jacobs, who's going to make a comeback this
what?
Summer. The miracle man. The man who had osteosarcoma.
He's going to make a comeback?
He's going to have a comeback this year. He's not quite happy with finishing his career on that defeat to John Ryder at Ali Pally. Mm. He's doing a lot of work with his son, his 15-year-old son, who's a massive inspiration for him. Great character, great guy from Brownsville, Daniel Jacobs. An absolutely special story when, of course, you know, 12, 13 years ago, he was in a wheelchair.
Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Had a night out with Coogan Cassius in Essex. Uh-oh. That was fun.
Uh-oh, I don't even want to imagine. What time did you get home from the night out?
3:30.
I can't even imagine what that night out was like. I really can't, because Coogan doesn't hold back as well. So that's
it was a lot of fun. The trouble is, you know, especially there's a lot of boxing fans in Billericay, Shenfield, and Basildon, where we were on tour. So it was like a lot of boxing chat. I had a great interview with Lauren Price.
Big fight for her coming up.
Very big fight, and also drawing in the Welsh crowd. Fight night on Saturday night with Spencer Oliver, and then with Duke McKenzie, which was absolutely brilliant.
Well, Duke was in studio, yeah.
Duke was in studio. We had Chris Congo in with us as well, and a guy called Dan Morley. Mm-hmm. And then I went out and about and ended up. Were you in Vegas or not for Saturday night's fight?
No, I was in Barbados.
Well, there you go. So tell us about, I've done lots of other things in the last week, apart from organising to be up in Morecambe for Tyson Fury tomorrow, and then Jordan Gill and Zelfa Barrett in Manchester on Thursday. Tell us about Barbados.
You know what? It was just a case of, let's just press the pause button, because as you know, we've got a frantic few weeks coming up in the world of boxing, and there's going to be no time off for anyone. Big fights all over the world. As you said, we've got Jordan Gill, Zelfa Barrett coming up. We go to America for Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia. Then, obviously, we all go to Saudi. In between that, Canelo Munguia. So I thought, you know what? I've got to go somewhere hot, somewhere nice, somewhere I can just relax, take nice walks. So I went to Barbados for a week, and I can't really tell you what happened in Barbados. What happens in Barbados stays in Barbados.
Is it all... See, I love the sea breeze and the daiquiris in Barbados. Played a bit of cricket there a few years back.
Yes.
It's a beautiful place, and the people are just...
Oh, my God, they're too nice. It almost isn't real just, how nice they are.
Can I use two words?
Go on.
Peachy and wondrous, the people of Barbados. That's how I found them.
Second word I'd go with, well, peachy. I'm just trying to see how that...
They're just so gentle and lovely.
Ah, okay. I get you. No, I get you. You know what I did do, though? Obviously, because I was in Barbados, I missed out on all the box. I didn't really catch up with anything. I have watched a Wardley Clark fight back, and obviously was the best British heavyweight fight, I said, since Chisora White won. But that's the one I think of as a war. That one in Manchester, where I thought Chisora maybe could have done enough to nick it. In the end, White got it. I think that's the last... I think great British heavyweight dust up, all domestic one anyway. I think this one might have eclipsed it.
Absolutely. And if it wasn't an all British, even though he's the Morecambe Gypsy now, Joseph Parker and Dillian White is the most memorable one apart from that. I can recall at the O2, or even Dillian White and AJ was pretty special 7-8 years ago, but it didn't go the distance. But yeah, it was very special indeed. And for the whole of last week, people were still talking about it, which was wonderful for both men, because both men's stock really, really rose.
Mm. Do you think we need to see it again? Or do you think, although we sort of clamour for these things, they just move on in different directions? Just because I think to see it again, both are going to want to get paid a lot, really, because, you know, the kind of damage they both took. And I don't know if it's a pay-per-view fight, right? And that seems to be the only way to get them the money they want nowadays. So do you think they both go in different directions, or we could see it again maybe in Saudi?
I think Fraser Clark probably would be the favourite going into the second fight, because I think technically he's better. Mm. And I think maybe there are more opportunities for Fabio Wardley right now than there are for Fraser Clark. So that's a possibility that it doesn't happen. But I just think it'll all come down to the money, all come down to the finances, of whether it really works for them both. If they can earn $1 million each doing pay-per-view, I think they do it. But I'm not sure. I get the reasoning behind you. It may not be possible for it to happen this summer. But Portman Road, 40,000, they could do that. I would generate a big crowd there. But it's down to Fabio Wardley in many ways, whether he wants to get in that top 20 mix in Saudi Arabia. It wouldn't surprise me if the rematch got picked up, say, on one of the Saudi cards. Agreed. Either. That would make sense as well, given what's happening at the moment. So maybe they'll hold out for that, or maybe their teams will talk to the relevant people who are putting the big heavyweight cards together in Saudi Arabia. Certainly works as a co-main or a third fight on one of those very big heavyweight fights that are going to continue to be in Saudi.
Indeed, it was a good card for Boxer. I think obviously Congo,
very good.
Congo beat Florian Marcoux, a lot of heat going into that one. Ben Whitaker on the card as well. We are going to talk a bit later in the show about sort of the next British boxing superstars, just because all the big names are coming to the end. There isn't that long left for the likes of AJ and Fury and Wyatt, Chisora, Katie Taylor as well, Warrington Wood. All the big names, people that put bums on seats, are going to be, I think, done and dusted probably in 18 to 24 months. Ben Whitaker's the guy a lot of people think potentially could be that person to kind of move the needle a bit, put bums on seats. What did you make of him on the weekend, or the weekend gone?
Very good, but also the it's what Leon Willings did on the night as well, and he put in a tremendous performance and kind of 9 days' notice and just did his own thing and was himself. against Ben. Look, Ben moves the needle. He's a phenomenal talent, and like many other talents before him, silver medal, of course, in the Olympics. Everything he does is scrutinized, so that allows him to magnify all the things he does. So the showboating's magnified, the row with the commentator is magnified. But he's a great kid with lots of ability and very unique and mirroring skills and styles of people like Joel Paez, Willie Pep, Nazim Hamid, James Toney,
Emmanuel Augustus.
Augustus, yeah. There are others. And so he's very, very unique in how he does things, and he's capitalizing on it, Addy. And that's crucial in this world of hype and promotion, because you can have the skills to pay the bills, but if you don't have the hype and promotion to go with it, you don't always cross over into the mainstream. And that's what being a big star in this sport is all about.
Yeah, weekend just gone, DAZN had a show in Vegas, headlined by Richardson Hitchens, who I thought struggled, didn't impress, and one of the scorecards, 117-111. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Sometimes I want to say it's incompetence, but when a scorecard's that bad, I just have to question the sport of boxing sometimes. Before we talk about that, Skyle Nicholson, well done to her becoming a new world champion. Obviously, she wants the big name. She wants Serrano. I don't think she's going to get the Serrano fight, but she has made it look very easy so far. She barely gets hit in any of her fights, Skyle Nicholson. Like, honestly, I can't remember actually ever getting sort of caught clean. She's very evasive.
Yeah, she is. She's a great mover. Mm. And she's also a southpaw, of course. And she has that very rangy stance. And she's in and out. And she dances brilliantly. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't the most exciting fight I've ever seen. I did stay up for it. How did you do that?
That was hard. That was a hard stay up, that was.
It was, but I watched that fight in Soho on my phone.
What a life this man lives.
But in Bar Italia, I think I was at the time. It was a very low punch count in the fight, but Sarah Mahfoud, who'd only lost on points to Amanda Serrano, of course, over 10 two-minute rounds in Manchester in September 22, I think it was. Sky put on a great performance. As I say, it wasn't that thrilling, but she did everything she had to do. I think she'd be swarmed a lot more by Serrano, but could she pick Serrano off on the way in? She's got good hand speed and power. She's stepping into a punch a bit more. She did everything she needed to do. But again, a lot of women now winning world titles after 10 fights, they're still learning their trade in lots of ways. You can take nothing away from her, though. I think Eddie Hearn said they're going to put her in a fight in Australia. That's a really good idea. Take her home, first of all. Take her over there. Then Raven Chapman, which is a good fight for her as well. Mm. Raven can... Again, she might be able to pick Raven off, and then Serrano, if Serrano's still around. Those are the three fights for her at the moment. One in Australia, then Chapman, who's the mandatory for that vacant, or for the what was the vacant WBC title, and then Amanda Serrano. But take no credit away from it. On the Richardson Hitchens, I thought he lost by two rounds, if I'm honest, Eddie.
You know, if that's what you think, and by the way, you could be right, because some of those rounds were swing rounds. How bad does it then make that judge look who gave it 117-111 to Hitchens?
Yeah, that was a guy called Tim Cheatham who scored that fight.
Good surname. Good surname.
That means he scored it 9-3.
Yeah.
All right, there were some swing rounds, but I thought Hitchens was struggling with the tenacity and relentlessness of Gustavo Lemos at times. He was having his first fight in 30 outside Argentina, and I thought put a very, very good account of himself. And when you think that Hitchens is now going to fight Subriel Matias for the one...
Good luck.
For the 140 IBF title, I think he might struggle against him, you know? I mean, when you look... Here's the thing I was thinking the entire time. Jose Zepeda went 10 or 12 rounds with Hitchens. Dalton Smith put him away, Zepeda, in 5 rounds. How would Hitchens fare against Dalton Smith right now? I think he'd get stopped. I think Dalton Smith would beat him up. And it just shows where some of our kind of young rising stars are. I know we'll come to that, but I had that in my mind the whole time I was watching the Hitchens and Lemos fight.
Yeah, interesting take, because I agree with you, by the way. Watching that and seeing that Cepeda went the full distance with Hitchens, and as you say, Dalton Smith absolutely smashed him to pieces. Interesting. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to chat about who is best placed to be the next big superstar of British boxing. And we're going to look ahead to UFC 300, which is this weekend. But up next, we're going to talk Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano 2, which looks set to be the first ever combat event in the Las Vegas Sphere later this year. Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Myself, Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's talk about the news that started to trickle through to boxing fans this week, and that's that Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano 2 could happen in the Las Vegas Sphere. We're here in June or July. So that basically means Katie Taylor versus Chantel Cameron's now dead in the water. We're not going to see that trilogy.
Yeah, well, I mean... What's the bigger fight? It probably is Amanda Serrano. And I think this is probably the feeling from Katie Taylor's team and Eddie Hearn, that if they don't do it now, they'll never do it. That Chantel Cameron fight is always there, because Cameron's always going to say yes to a third fight with Katie Taylor.
Yeah. And look, by the way, you asked the question, what's the bigger fight? I think easily Serrano Taylor. Like, I don't even think it's close. I mean, this is no disrespect to Chantel Cameron, but we were both there for those fights, and all the fan base is Katie Taylor. Chantel's got a little pocket of fans, but it's 90% of that audience is Katie Taylor, where, you know, and I know, she fights Amanda Serrano in a Sphere, then the whole of Puerto Rico is coming out to support Amanda Serrano, and the Irish will travel as well. So it's a 50-50 fight. It's a 50-50 audience. It's a big... potentially pay-per-view fight, considering what happened the first time round. Jake Paul will be there on the side selling Amanda Serrano. Eddie Hearn will do what he did with Katie Taylor last time. It's massive. I think it's enormous, and I like the fact that they're going at it again, because it should have happened immediately after the first fight, because the first fight, again, we were both there, was one of the greatest fights that we've both seen live.
Yeah, it's a real shame that it's not going to be 80,000 at Croke Park and just 18,000 seated spectators at the Sphere. As you say, I think it'll be the first combat sports event in the Sphere. I'm amazed that the UFC didn't beat them to it.
Can't believe that.
It's a big shocker, isn't it? You know, or even Top Rank beating them to it. God knows why. But look, that first fight that we were both at Madison Square Garden 2 years ago was absolutely extraordinary. They brought the house down. They also brought in some of the biggest female names in the world from combat sports, from entertainment, from politics, from political activists, from social activists, you know, Billie Jean King and the rest. It was a seismic moment in the history of women's boxing. It did 1 million views. So many things that were great about it. Non-stop action, 10 two-minute rounds. The only problem being now that obviously there's the debate over will it be three-minute rounds, because Serrano is the three-minute round queen now. So how they get over that one, I don't know, because the WBC won't. Obviously, she's relinquished her WBC title because they won't allow three-minute rounds. So how they do that negotiation is fascinating for me. Is it going to be 10 three-minute rounds?
That is very interesting. I wouldn't be upset with 12 twos. I don't mind a couple of championship rounds and let them go there. I think three-minute rounds, I'm still not sold on it. Even the great Amanda Serrano, who's 100 miles per hour, started to slow down in her fights when it was 3 minutes. So I'd rather see a couple of extra twos. And they might need it. I mean, the first fight was so close. You could have had a couple more rounds to really decide a proper winner in that fight. And I also feel like Amanda, I feel like she needs this one as well. Obviously, look, the last fight she pulled out because of the injury to the eye, or what was it, the hair chemicals getting into the eye. So she pulled out of that. And that was supposed to be the homecoming fight and big Puerto Rico. So she needs something. And I think since she's fought Katie, this isn't discrediting her opponents, but they haven't been the big names. Like, it's been Sarah Mahfood, it's been Erica Hernandez, Heather Hardy, Danila Ramos. She needs a big one. You don't get much bigger than Katie Taylor. You don't get
it. I think I was talking to Jane Couch about this on Saturday night. I had her on the show, and of course, Jane, 26 years ago, got her license from the Boxing Board of Control, had to do it in the High Court, and was the first licensed female professional boxer in the UK. But we were talking about this, and there's probably only about 40 women in the world who are truly, truly elite right now. Mm. And that those women move up and down the weight classes. So it's a good time in many ways for these small group of elite women that they can fight each other. But also the rest of the time, there's a surfeit or a dearth in the depth of talent.
Yeah.
You can only fight. I'm not criticizing women's boxing here, but I'm saying, as Jane was the other night, you know, she's going into the Hall of Fame for the things she's done in Canastota. There's still a lot of work to be done. It's still in its embryonic stages. And I think to see Serrano and Taylor for a second time is really important. They're going to get 18,000 in there, Eddie. Obviously, yep. We'll be there. Do we hear it's September time or earlier?
I'm hearing earlier. I'm hearing June, July. Like June/July. I think it is part of the reason you mentioned that Eddie almost wants to get a jump on Top Rank, potentially the UFC, potentially, and wants to be the first in there. And it wouldn't surprise me if Dana White's got something planned for later on in the year, and Eddie just wants to kind of jump the queue, if you like, and be the first to have a big event. And it will be a big event. I mean, that's historical. For it to be the first combat event in the sphere, and for it to be two females, and for these two females to headline, I mean, Eddie's going to want to get that one done. So I can see it sort of being June, July, potentially, especially considering that Amanda's not fought now for a few months because, again, she pulled out of her last one. And Chantel versus Katie was, when was that? Last year, when? So it makes sense for them to go now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about time you and I had a week in Vegas together as well.
Because I'm scared of that.
There's nothing to be scared of. I've been over there over 100 times, so I've done the whole roller coaster. And I'm always in bed now by at least 1 in the morning. So I never go out after 1 in the morning.
That I don't believe at all. As for Chantel Cameron, obviously, look, spare a thought for her. She did want the trilogy. New trainers as well. I think she was banking on getting this fight again. What does she do next? But potentially Sandy Ryan, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good call. Sandy Ryan looked phenomenal the other day against Terry Harper. That's a really good fight. There's also Lauren Price, who no doubt we'll talk about in terms of rising stars. I haven't got her on my list, but I could well add her. What a phenomenal story she is as well. Mm. Lauren Price is out there as well. There's are we talking about welterweight? Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking as you said, though, the females can go up and down. So really, I mean,
140,
Tasha Jonas is there potentially.
154. Yeah, exactly. Tasha Jonas, Sandy Ryan, Jessica McCaskill,
Michaela Meyer.
Price, Michaela Meyer, they're all in that three-weight band, aren't they? In from light middle to light welter. So that is the kind of, there's five of the 40 elite we're talking about, really.
Yeah, so Chantel's almost fortunate she's in a weight class where she gets to fight.
Let's be honest about this, and I'm not denigrating Chantel. Alongside Katie Taylor, in spite of her victory over Katie in that first fight, Katie's always going to be the A side, just because of the amount of draw that she brings in Ireland. For example, in the Sphere, 18,000, you could literally see 6,000-7,000 Irish fans travelling to see her live. You're not going to get that for any other woman in the world right now. You might get 5,000 Puerto Rican fans travelling for Serrano in America as well, and for Puerto Rico, but you're not going to get... Katie Taylor will get the biggest travelling following in the world. There's no one else will get a following like her. I think that's fair to say.
Agreed. And I think that's what makes it such a special fight. And fingers crossed we get an announcement on that very, very soon. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we'll talk the next generation. Who is in line to be Britain's next boxing superstar?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewellery, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
And there goes the bell to end the fight. Whittaker's won it. No question about that. No question at all.
It's another first-round stoppage for Moses. It's Almer. There was a real sense of inevitability from the moment the opening bell rung.
Zapena is in huge trouble here, and he's not going to get up. He's not going to nearly get up. And Dalton Smith has produced the performance of his career.
Declaring your winner and still undefeated, Lauren Pride.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, Gareth A. Davis. We are going to talk a bit of MMA, UFC 300, the big one. The big one, maybe not the big card, but it is a big one regardless this weekend. Before we do that, though, Gareth, I do want to talk about the future of British boxing. And the reason I bring this up is I did a video on my YouTube channel the other day, and I was thinking, who are the next superstars of the sport? I mean, we've almost been spoiled a bit that we've had this run where, you know, we've had Joshua and Fury. These are stadium fighters, which is incredible. These guys do stadiums. And then we've had, you know, ones that Dillian Whyte, Chisora, Josh Warrington, and you know, you've been up there at the First Direct and sort of Ellen Road, where he's put on big fights. Lee Wood has got a little following now, the Nottingham fans. They're all sort of mid to late 30s. Like these guys will be done in the next 12 to 18 months. Probably be out of the sport, probably all of them, if I'm honest with you. So who is the next ones? I mean, when you look down the list, and you would have covered all the guys coming through, who do you think are the next superstars of the sport? Who moves the needle? Who puts bums on seats? Who potentially can do pay-per-views?
Well, you've got three. I'm going to leave you say them in a minute that you've outlined to me before the show. But I think I'm going to pick three others or four others.
Okay.
And they include Galal Yafai, who was in action at the weekend, who's developing very quickly. Obviously, a gold medalist from Tokyo at flyweight. Pat McCormack, a silver medalist, who's under the auspices of Ben Davison. Mm. And Ben genuinely says to me, Addy, that he believes that Pat could be the greatest boxer he's ever worked with so far, which is saying an enormous amount about him. Adam Azim, jury's out still. He's 11 fights in. He's a big star of the boxer stable, but not quite a star yet. Mm-hmm. That's come into focus with the rows with Frank Smith and Eddie Hearn over Dalton Smith, who I don't think he was ready for. And I think in female terms coming through, we're going to see her in action, a world title fight with Jessica McCaskill soon. I'd say Lauren Price. I think those four have got a lot of skills and a lot of abilities and the chance to come through. And having been in the sport a very long time, sometimes you get to an end of an era where you think, oh, God, where are the new stars coming from? You want heavyweight stars as well. And I know you'll point to that in a minute. But it's always a conveyor belt because people are always developing. Who are your three to add to that four then?
Yeah, so I've gone Ben Whittaker. I think he has everything, if I'm honest with you. I think he's already now got a big social media
apart from power so far.
Apart from that, because he did land some good shots on the kid a couple of weeks ago and didn't really damage him, put him down in the first, but couldn't get rid of him. But he's got a massive following already. I think he's got 1 million followers on Instagram, which... kind of unheard of, really, for a boxer coming through that early. He's only had, what is his 8th professional fight?
His showboating helped that the other day, and loads of stars watched those viral clips. And that is, we talked about it earlier, it's a very important part of your career as a fighter. He absolutely is massive.
It's massive. He started getting, as you say, he started getting people like Shakur Stevenson saying that this is incredible, Devin Haney. Everyone started following him. And then, what really impressed me over here was... the footballers came to the fights. Ivan Toney was there. So big footballers are coming to watch him box as well, which doesn't really happen that much. So I think Ben Whittaker, I'd be shocked if Ben Whittaker doesn't become a star. And I think if he doesn't, it's only down to him because I think he has pretty much everything. I've gone for a heavyweight just because I ruled off a few names of guys that will be gone soon and they're pretty much all heavyweights. And I just think that we love the big boys, don't we? We love them. And there's something about Moses Atuma that I really like. I love his personality. He's still very, very young. I think he's got everything. Again, he can box. He's got the skills. I hear about the sparring stories. We need to see those transferred into the ring against sort of big names soon. But I think this guy in the next 12 to 18 months, and look, he's with Frank, and Frank knows to kind of what direction to push these fighters in. I think if Frank puts him in the right direction, the right fights at the right time, I think Moses Atuma could be a superstar.
And then I think he could be the biggest of all of them, frankly.
Oh, I like it. Go on.
No, I really do, of all of them, because he's a heavyweight. Mm. And I've spent a bit of time with him in the last year, and I like him more and more. And when very young people take to things, if you're good enough, you're old enough, you know that
good
saying.
Good shout, yeah.
I forget that he's blooming 18, 19.
Doesn't make sense to me. Like no. When I'm around him, I'm interviewing him like I feel like I'm interviewing a fully grown man. And I'm I'm old enough to be your dad.
But it was like that with Mike Tyson. I'm old enough to be his granddad.
Great granddad. You know? No, joking. Yeah.
No, dad, granddad. I'm old enough to be his, I'm 3 times his age.
Crazy.
So it is. It's that weird, you know? So that's a very, very good call.
And my final one, and we'll discuss some more as well, but my final one's Dalton Smith. Yeah, just because sort of Sheffield's always been a hotbed for boxing and they've produced so many superstars over the years. Obviously none bigger than Prince Nassim Hamed, but most recently Kell Brook. And Kell was there a couple of weeks back on Saturday when he destroyed Cepeda. And it almost felt like that moment where Kell said, okay, here's the torch. This is up to you now. I think the fan base is growing. I think there was about 3,000 or 4,000 in the arena. It will grow eventually. It's an organic growth as well. And I like that. I'm always worried when 20,000 turn up and you don't perform and then 20,000 disappear. He's got a hardcore following. And I think there's something special about him as well. He's got the look. I like Dalton Smith a lot. And I think Eddie's keen with him as well. So those are my three. But there could be more.
Listen, that's seven.
Yeah.
We could go to 10. But next week, we could look at another three. But I think that's plenty coming through. And they're in the mid phase at the moment. And it's people will suddenly emerge as well that you don't expect to emerge on the basis of 2 or 3 performances or something that happens or something that goes viral, like you say, about Ben Whittaker.
You're right. You look at Tyson Fury. I mean, when AJ was doing stadiums... I mean, Tyson Fury, he wasn't that guy. And all of a sudden, Tyson Fury, over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, has become equal, some might say even bigger than AJ in terms of filling arenas and stadiums. And no one, I don't think many would have expected that from Tyson Fury. So you're right. Some can be late bloomers in terms of becoming superstars.
Absolutely right.
Mm. With Galal Yafaida, you mentioned him. Obviously, look, fought on the weekend, got another win, Olympic gold medalist. You know, when I sort of say... sort of stars and bums on seats and ticket sellers, etc. Do you think he can do that? Do you think he can start to get the following? I mean, he's got all the skills, right? He's got everything, right? In order to become a world champion. But do you think he's got enough in terms of transferring that to people sort of putting their hard-earned money behind him?
It's down to the weight class that he's in at flyweight. Look, he's a Commonwealth gold medalist. He's an Olympic gold medalist. You don't come much better than that.
No,
European Games bronze medalist. He's 8-0 with 6 stoppages and 2 by decision. The problem is there isn't a lot of glamour around the very much lighter weights. Mm. It may never be. I mean, look at the achievements of Sonny Edwards till he lost recently. He he's very outspoken and very talked about. It's just one of those weird things about boxing that the smaller men in our country don't have as much impact as the heavyweights. They steal all the limelight, rightly or wrongly. So that's the scenario those guys face. But in terms of what he's achieving and what he's achieved so far, he's very self-critical. He was unhappy with himself on Saturday night. I thought he did all right. I predicted a stoppage for him. Eddie Hearn's putting him in against really decent guys already. He's a very aggressive, counter-punching southpaw. And he's the perfect style, simple as that. But you're just going to have to keep working at it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think, and one more here now, and it's the one that we didn't mention. And I think if we were both asked this question 12 months ago, I think he would have been the first name off both of our lips. And that's Conor Benn. Conor Benn was the one that I think everyone, if you asked everyone out there, all the British boxing fans, who's going to be the next superstar in the next 12 to 18 months and fill out all the arenas, I think everyone unanimously would have said Conor Benn. How much work does he have to do to kind of get that, the British fans back behind him, number one? I guess he's just got to start fighting again over here, hasn't he?
Look, he's in no man's land at the moment, walking through, a minefield, really. I mean, he's back at the front door. He's gone all the way around the block in terms of what's happened with the two positive tests. They've done, jurisdiction, but they haven't done strict liability. For me, he's back at the front door.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago, I think outside the heavyweights, he was potentially the biggest star coming up in the UK. Resonant, making noise, name known. In some ways, he's a bigger star now, but maybe there's something tainted in that. I don't know if that's unfair or not, but yes, he's still a very big name, but his big fights are in the UK. His big fights, he's not a global name. Mm. He's a British name. So the key for him is to get his British license back or find a way that he can fight in the UK, Addy, not abroad. Or if it's on one of those Saudi cards, but they're licensed by the Boxing Board of Control at the moment,
yep,
or commissioned by the Boxing Board of Control, that's probably his route. Because it's the fight with Chris Eubank that I think most people want to see.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of what could have been if he had that fight with Chris Eubank Jr. and beat him. You're looking at a superstar, and here we are now, over a year later, and still no resolution when it comes to Conor Benn. All right, you're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Up next, we're going to talk UFC 300. Welcome back. You're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Addy Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's switch our attention now to MMA, UFC 300. And I remember all the sort of build-up to this for the last sort of few months. And everyone was like, okay, what's UFC 300 going to look like? Because this is the big one, right? This is their Super Bowl. It's bigger than that, actually, UFC 300. Especially when you consider what UFC 200 was. You had Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt. You had Tate versus Nunes, Cormier versus Anderson Silva. By the way, that was supposed to be Cormier versus John Jones, if I remember correctly. And John Jones said the issue, failed a test. Aldo versus Edgar. UFC 300 isn't quite the same, Gareth. Does this go back to our conversation about star power in the UFC in terms of what names they could have put forward?
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about the very first fight on the UFC, I was at UFC 100 and UFC 200, by the way. When you think that the prelim card for UFC 200 was Jim Miller and Takanori Gomi. Jim Miller's on 3, by the way. Jim Miller was on 100, 200, and he's on 300. Gegard Mousasi and Thiago Santos and Joe Lowe's on and Diego Sanchez. That was the prelim card.
That's ridiculous.
On Fight Pass, and then it was Kat Zingano and Juliana Pena, Gastelum and Hendricks, Dillashaw and Rafael Assunção and Sage Northcutt and Enric Martin. As you say, the main card then was Cain Velasquez and Travis Brown, Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar, Daniel Cormier, Anderson Silva, Brock Lesnar and Mark Hunt, and Amanda Nunes and Misha Tate. And I'll even go back, while we're at it, okay, I'll go back to...
100, go on.
100.
I got to hear this. Get it up, go on.
Brock Lesnar, Frank Mir, George St. Pierre, Thiago Alves, Dan Henderson, Michael Bisping, John Fitch.
They've lost the UFC, Dan, they're done.
Yoshihiro Akiyama, Sexy Yama, and Alan Belcher. Mark Coleman and Stefan Bonner, John Jones, Jake O'Brien, Jim Miller again against Mac Danzig. I go on and on and on. Now, look, UFC 300.
To be fair to Dana, Dana has said, and I think, well, not Dana, but reports are emerging that he's basically tried to do everything. Like, he tried to get the fights that we kind of wanted to see. Like, he wanted Du Plessis versus my man, Israel Adesanya. He was desperate for that one. He was desperate for John Jones to fight on this card as well. There was even talks, crazy talks, about Tom Aspinall versus Pereira. Pereira going up to heavyweight and trying to become the first freeweight world champion. Nothing happened. I just wonder if fighters are kind of wising up to the fact that, well, one second, if you want us to fight, we want to get paid. And now all of a sudden, fighters want to get paid. And I just wonder if it's changed. The mentality was like, I will fight anytime, anywhere. But now it's like, no, pay me and I will fight.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. Sometimes I blame myself that I'm not so involved in terms of presenting now on the UFC. And I think MMA has... Look, you've also got Holly Holm and Kayla Harrison on this card, which I think is a really amazing...
That's a very intriguing fight, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good... There's a bit of star power there. But I just wonder whether, you know, the stars in MMA have flattened out a little bit. I don't know. My instinct is... Look, obviously, Gaethje and Holloway is a great fight. Zhang Weili and Zhang Xiaonan is a great fight. Alex Pereira and Jamal Hill.
No,
they're
not for
global
me.
Stars for not me. For me.
Main event. I mean, I love Pereira, but main event?
Yeah.
Pereira versus Jamal Hill? Absolutely.
Do you know what's disappointing there? If you look back at those other two cards, the 200, two heavyweight fights... you look at 100, you've got John Jones is like, you've got another, there's no heavyweight fights on there for a start. And I think a heavyweight fight is really,
it's
really
key,
important.
Isn't it? It's key. The heavyweight division right now is flatlined a little bit. I would even argue to say UFC 299 had a better card. Remember,
yeah,
Sean O'Malley versus
you.
Marlon Vera, Dustin Poirier was on the card, Kevin Holland versus Michael Page. Everyone's intrigued about Paige. Gilbert Burns, Petr Yan versus San Yeon-dong. Like, that was better.
Yeah. There's no question that, and again, it's peaks and troughs, that the UFC, without John Jones and Conor McGregor fighting regularly, does lack a bit of star power at the moment. They're two massive stars.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously Jonesy's injured, Bones is injured, and Conor probably won't fight again in the octagon, I imagine.
Yeah, Jones seems to be running people, drug enforcement officers away from his house. That's what John Jones seems to be doing at the moment.
I watched the video and
it looked like he just patted the person on the back, actually, and just gave the other one a hug. I didn't see where this accusation of him sort of effing and blinding and kicking them out of his house has come from.
Always have been, always will be a massive fan of John Jones, I'm afraid. And he still beats everyone. I know people think Tom Aspinall would beat him right now. And Tom is on the rise. There's no question about that, on his way to being UFC heavyweight champion. But I don't know. Listen, UFC 300, it's brilliant that they've reached this stage of 300 numbered events. And it's a fantastic organization.
Yeah, agreed.
But they just haven't got those major they've got stars of MMA, but they're just not crossover household names at the moment. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, people that I think he expected to be superstars just maybe haven't got there quite yet. But this is the UFC. We've seen stars come and go, and I'm sure Dana White will find the next superstar, as he's always done in the coming months and years. Just before we go, Gareth, I know that you are going to speak to a certain Ryan Garcia later. Yeah. Obviously, Ryan Garcia, yeah. Big fight for him coming up next weekend at the Barclays Centre, which is nice to see boxing back there. He takes on Devin Haney for his WBC super lightweight strap. What do you make of what's happened with Ryan? I mean, look, the fight's happening. He looks like he's in good spirits now, which is good to see. And sometimes fighters, they prefer to at least have their minds on something. Those that have wandering minds seem to go everywhere. At least he's got something to focus on now, at least.
I've said this all along. I'm looking forward to talking to him later, and I'll put this to him. I've defended how he's been. It's up to him how he is. I know he's got loving parents around him. It's not like he's someone that lives out in the abyss. I saw the difference when his dad started taking him on the pads in the last couple of weeks. And my reasoning was, I'm not a flaming psychotherapist or psychoanalyst. So it wasn't my right to say, like many other people said, oh, he shouldn't be fighting. That's not for me to say. If he wants to fight, that's up to him. What I said was, if he was on the marijuana, you can't be smoking that and going into a fight because that's a banned substance, rightly or wrongly. Because I'm not sure whether it's really performance enhancing in that respect. But my argument was maybe better that he's got this focus, as you just alluded to be fighting if he is going through something mentally. And I'll put that to him today and chat very sensitively to him about that. I'm looking forward to the fight. I do think Devin Haney's a big favourite. I think it's very good matchmaking, but I think Ryan will be very dangerous early in the first four or five rounds of the fight.
Yeah, look, I'm just happy that we're getting at least these fights happening. We've been asking for those four or five guys to kind of mix it with each other. And Ryan seems to be fighting anyone right now, puts his hands up and is willing to fight,
yep.
Unlike a few of them. So good luck to Devin. Good luck to Ryan. I think it'll be a good fight for a few rounds. But I'm kind of like you. I think Devin could be just a bit special. And I think Devin will sort of retain his belt. But who knows? This is boxing. Ryan's a big puncher. He's big at the
absolutely
weight. So we'll see what happens. Gareth, as always, my man, appreciate you. Thank you very, very much. Always good to be back with you. Apologies, everyone. It's been like, where's Addy? Where's Addy? I know I've been missed. But I'm here. The A-team is back again. And the A-team will be back next week as well.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.